Welcome to the Christ Community Church podcast. This teaching was recorded live at our weekend service in St. Charles, Illinois. We invite you to join in person any weekend in St. Charles, DeKalb, Aurora, Streamwood, or Huntley, or check out a service online. Learn more at ccclife.org. And now, enjoy the message.
Brandon is a high school senior in Nebraska, and he recently finished up his cross-country season, his final season. And he was in his final race a few weeks back, and he knew that if he did well, he would qualify for a postseason tournament. So he was really pushing it, hoping to finish strongly. But as he approached the finish line, he saw another runner that was down on the ground. This was Blake. Blake is a high school sophomore from an opposing team. Blake had been out ahead of Brandon in the race, but then he got leg cramps. And he fell to the ground, and he struggled to get back up, and he fell to the ground again. And Brandon saw him, and without taking a moment to hesitate, he stopped, he picked him up, put Blake's arm around his own shoulders, and the two of them crossed the finish line together, arm in arm. Just a wonderful, inspiring story. I came across it on the Good News Network. Ever heard of the Good News Network? It is an online newspaper, and it only publishes good news, right? Which is why it's so popular. Evidently, a lot of people need good news these days because they see about 1.4 million visits every month. Now, maybe you could use some good news. I think we're all a bit tired of the bad news, a bit weary of news about, you know, COVID outbreaks and further restrictions and supply chain backups and growing inflation and worker shortages and political stalemates and on it goes. Well, interestingly, you know, the original Christmas story in the Bible is posed as good news. Good news. So let me read a familiar portion of the story to you from the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. You could follow along if you brought a Bible with you or you want to turn to your electronic Bible, but you know the story. It's a young couple by the names of Joseph and Mary, and they've traveled to this little village called Bethlehem in order to register for a census that had been imposed on everybody by the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus. You know, Bethlehem was the hometown of Joseph's family. Joseph and Mary had been living in Nazareth at the time, which is about 90 miles away, so it was quite an arduous journey to get to Bethlehem, especially considering it was done on foot and that Mary was pregnant at the time. And the baby in her womb, Joseph was not the dad, God was, Scripture tells us. Evidently, Bethlehem was crowded when they arrived due to visitors who were also there for the census. So the only space they could find for themselves was this area in which animals were kept. So when Mary gives birth to her baby, a son, she has to put him in a feeding trough, in a manger filled with hay. And this is where we pick up the story in Luke chapter 2. This is a story about good news. A story about good news. If you're following in your Bible, I'm starting at verse 8 of Luke 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." I'm going to stop right there. At Christ Community Church, whenever I read a passage of Scripture, I like to remind people, this is the word of the Lord. And then people respond across our five campuses or watching online, thanks be to God. So let's do that. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God for this, not only his word in general, but this wonderful story about an angel's announcement of good news to this group of sleepy shepherds outside the tiny village of Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Good news, the angel says, that will cause great joy. So if you're sick and tired of bad news, if you could use some good news, if you could use some joy in your life this Christmas season, We got to ask ourselves the question, how do you assimilate? How do you receive this good news in a way that will flood your life with joy? Flood your life with joy. And I want to give you three steps. You're going to see that they come right out of this text. Okay, how do you get this good news so that it produces joy in your own life? Step number one, be surprised. Okay, be surprised. Now, sometimes when we get good news, it's not much of a surprise. It's not much of a shocker. So you get a raise at work, you know, your boss tells you about this good news, but, you know, frankly, you've been working hard and the raise is long overdue, so it's not really a surprise. Or let's say that, you know, you open a gift tomorrow and it's exactly what you wanted, but frankly, you told everybody what you wanted, so it's no surprise that somebody actually bought it for you. Okay, it's no big shocker. See, every once in a while, we get good news that's not much of a surprise to us. You get an A on your exam, and you look at the paper, but you studied hard. You knew the material. It's not a surprise. But other times, good news comes out of nowhere. You don't see it coming. It's not on your radar. Now, maybe you did expect something, but what you got was totally different from what you expected. You know, that happened to my oldest daughter, Emily, on the day she got engaged. So Emily met Adam at college, and they began dating, and then Adam graduated early, and he moved to the Pacific Northwest, and they kept up this long-term relationship, long-range, long-distance relationship, until one day Adam sent Emily a plane ticket to come out and visit for a week. And Emily was sure this was going to be the setting for the proposal. In fact, she told all of us, family, friends, when I come back from Seattle, you'll probably see an engagement ring on my finger. So she flies out to Seattle, and she and Adam have a wonderful time together. They hike in the woods. If you've ever been out to the Pacific Northwest, some great hiking out there. They eat out at his favorite restaurants. They spend time talking together, but there's no proposal. In fact, the end of the week comes, and he tells her, I can't drive you to the airport. I got something come up at work, and so somebody else is going to have to drive you. And so Emily gets on the plane, and she is not only disappointed that she's not engaged, she's honked off at Adam. You know, and she lets the woman next to her, someone she's never met before, know the whole story. Okay? But what she doesn't know is that the reason Adam can't take her to the airport is he's already at the airport flying on an earlier flight to Chicago to beat her home. And he's hiding behind a pillar between the arrival gate and the baggage claim. And when Emily walks by, he pops out, drops to one knee, proposes. Surprise! Sometimes we get good news that's not much of a shocker, but other times, oh my goodness, it comes out of nowhere, takes our breath away. Total surprise. See, this is what it was like for the shepherds at Bethlehem on that starry night 2,000 years ago. Let me note several surprising aspects of the good news they received, which also make it surprising for us today. First of all, this good news, it's supernatural in origin. I mean, here's this group of shepherds a mile or two outside of the village just minding their own business. Historians speculate that they were probably raising sheep for the animal sacrificial system at the temple in Jerusalem, just 5 miles away. But now it's the middle of the night, and they're probably sleeping in shifts, so some of them can get rest while others are keeping an eye out for predators, and suddenly the sky breaks open. No advance warning. Luke says the glory of the Lord shone around them. And when the glory of the Lord appears in the Bible, it's always accompanied by brilliant flashes of lightning. So here is this big light in the sky and an angel at the center of it. And it's not one of those domesticated angels that you put on the top of your Christmas tree or you see on the front of a Christmas card. I mean, angels in Scripture, when somebody encounters an angel, it's a terrifying sight. These are awesome creatures. The person falls on their face. The first words out of the angel's mouth always has to be, "Don't be afraid. I'm bringing good news. I've got good news from God for you." Now, how many of us, honestly, are expecting a message from God right now? Yeah, You know, we're just minding our own business. We're watching a Christmas Eve service at one of Christ Community Church's in-person campuses, or maybe we're watching online, or we're watching the CBS special, but we're not expecting anything supernatural to transpire. You know, no startling proclamation of good news from God, but maybe God's got a surprise for you today. Maybe you're going to hear something that will change your life forever. Now, the second aspect of the good news that makes it so surprising, first aspect, it's supernatural. Second, it's about a Savior. So Luke chapter 2, verse 11 again, the angel says to the shepherds, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Now, this good news about a Savior, it may not have been quite as big a surprise to the shepherds as it is to us today, because the shepherds were hoping against hope for the appearance of a Savior. They were living, as was the rest of the population, under the thumb of the Roman Empire. And in their Bible, what we call our Old Testament, they had been promised by God that one day he would send a Savior, a liberator, a Messiah, a kingly figure who would destroy their enemies and then reign forever over a kingdom of justice and abundance. But I'm not so sure that people today are holding out for a hope for a Savior. You know, I think most people would say, well, a Savior, like, Savior from what? What do I need to be saved from? You know, imagine this, if you would. You go to the doctor for your annual checkup this next week, and you've already supplied him with a blood test. So he's got the results of your blood test, and you're thinking everything's great. And you walk through the door, he's got a smile on his face and says, "I've got good news. Good news, your disease is curable." You say, well, wait a second, I didn't know I had a disease. Okay, so this saving cure is a bit of a shocker. Let me tell you, shocker friends, you've got an incurable disease. An incurable disease. And it's terminal. Every one of us has it. You know, the Bible calls it sin. And sin, a simple definition, sin is going our way instead of God's way. It's something we do countless times every day. See, we're basically sitting on the throne of our own lives. We're our own king, our own queen. We don't need God telling us what to do. Oh, we go to God every once in a while when we get to hard times and need to lift a prayer up to the guy upstairs. But it's not like God's running our lives. You know, we know that there are things that we shouldn't do. He says don't do, and we do them anyway. We know that there are probably things he wants us to do that we're not doing. So we go our way instead of God's way, and the result is we disconnect. And when you disconnect from the one who is the source of life, listen to me, when you disconnect, when you pull the plug out of the wall socket and disconnect from the one who is the source of life, the result is death. So the disease is sin, and it leads to death. And when the Bible talks about death, it says there's a spiritual death component to this, namely, a dying on the inside. You've got a broken relationship with God, the God who made you, the God who sustains your every heartbeat, your every breath. You're disconnected from him. It's a spiritual death. And that leads to physical death at the end of this life. None of us get out of this alive. Okay, because we've unplugged from the one who's the giver of life, and that leads to eternal death in the world to come, separation from God forever. That's the bad news. That's the incurable disease. Or wait, is there a cure? Well, God provided a cure, and the cure is a person. John 3:16, most familiar verse in the Bible. God so loved the world that he what? He gave his one and only son. So God sends Jesus into this world. He's born in a stable in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, lives a perfect life, but he didn't come just to be a role model for us. He came to be a Savior. He came to give his life on the cross, to die the death that we deserve to die. See, the penalty for our sin, disconnecting from the giver of life, is death. Jesus, as the eternal Son of God, has a life of infinite worth, and he lays it down on the cross for you and for me. But he doesn't stay dead. He's risen from the dead. He's exalted to the right hand of God the Father in heaven. And today, he's still offering forgiveness and new life to anyone who will surrender to him. That's the good news. It's about a Savior. You know, have you ever surrendered your life to Jesus? Maybe you never thought before this moment, again, that you needed a Savior, but now you know. You've got an incurable disease, and only Jesus can save you. You know, when you began watching this Christmas Eve service, you may not have been expecting an encounter with a Savior. So be surprised. Be surprised. This is good news that can cause great joy for you. And that's the third surprising aspect of this good news. You know, it's not only supernatural, it's not only about a Savior, it is for you. And I'm sure that the shepherds were astonished that God would send an angel accompanied by a choir of a bazillion angelic voices to announce the arrival of a Savior King to them. See, shepherds were on the bottom rung of society. Actually, according to the historians, there was one rung lower than shepherds. That was lepers. You know, but other than lepers, you couldn't find a group of people that were looked at with greater disgust than shepherds. They were smelly. They were homeless. I mean, they moved from field to field. They'd rather hang out with animals than with people. And yet these were the guys to whom God sent a choir of angels with the good news of Jesus' birth. Not to religious leaders. Not to political rulers. Not to business movers and shakers, but to a group of lowly shepherds. Why? Because God was making a statement that this newly arrived Savior King, listen, this newly arrived Savior King was for everybody. For everybody. I mean, look at the lead angel's opening comment in verse 10. He says, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for, what's the next word? All, for all the people. In other words, anybody can surrender to Jesus. You know, he can become your Savior today. He can become your King today. What's the first step in receiving God's good news? Allow yourself to be surprised. You may not have come to one of these services or turned it on your laptop expecting something that would change your life, but here it is. Be surprised. I want you to hear from a friend of mine. His name is Sean, about how surprising it was to him, totally unexpected. Now, he had heard the good news about Jesus at Christ Community Church. But one day that good news came home. Take a look.
Looking back on it now, I know that was a very, very dark place.
Very dark. Mm-hmm. But it definitely was leading to catastrophic destruction. Mm-hmm. And that was hard to watch.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Sean.
And hi, I'm Heather, and I've been coming to Christ Community Church since October of 2020. We're 21, right? Yeah, 2020. And then my husband joined me on Easter of 2021, and we've been coming together ever since.
So yeah, after I graduated high school, I joined the Army. I was actually sent to basic training right before 9/11, so that happened while I was in basic training. If I had any type of belief in God, by the end of my second deployment, it was completely gone. Not only did I not believe in God, but when I came back in 2009, I was openly cursing him.
Darkness consumed him. It was like everything would compress and never deal with life and anything.
I used to have regular nightmares from deployments and stuff like that. And my go-to was, when I have them, is I go for a drive. I woke up from a dream and I went driving. I had music off. It was, I think, like 3 in the morning. And as I was driving, I just physically felt this warmth spreading through my body. And even though I was sitting in the driver's seat, obviously, you know, driving the vehicle, it felt like someone was wrapping their arms around me. And it was the most amazing, calming feeling that I have ever felt. And like, I mean, in an instant like that, all of those feelings of anger and resentment and hate that I was holding on to were just gone. So it was, I mean, in a way it was out of the blue for me. You know, I just figured it was gonna be a normal night of trying to get rid of thoughts and nightmares that I was having, and I was gonna drive around and then I'd come back and get ready for work and continue to be my old angry, bitter self. I mean, the best advice I can give you is turn to God, because he's there. We don't have to suffer alone. He's always there. He'll always listen. And anyone could be at peace if they just listen to God's word and accept him. God will always love you. There's nothing you can do or have done that would turn him away from you. Mm-hmm. God is real, and God is amazing. You know?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sean was surprised. He was surprised. So this angel shows up in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, announces to a group of frightened shepherds that there's good news that could flood their hearts with great joy. How do we access that good news? How do we get that flood of joy in our lives? Step one, be surprised. Allow yourself to be ambushed, as it were, by God. Step two, check it out. Okay, check it out. This good news about Jesus is worth checking out. The shepherds were awestruck by the choir of angels announcing Jesus' birth. Let me continue with the story, picking it up at verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. So what was the shepherd's immediate response to the good news about a Savior King? Did they yawn and turn over and go back to sleep? Okay, did somebody say, "Hey, is there any of that stew over the fire, you know, still left from dinner?" Did they go back to watching the sheep? No, they immediately concluded that this good news about a Savior King was so important, so potentially life-changing, that they needed to check it out for themselves, like right away. You know, verse 16 says, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby. They hurried off in the middle of the night. You know, one Bible scholar whose commentary I read on this passage, he pictured it. He said, "Can you imagine these shepherds? I mean, it's dark out, and they're making a beeline for the manger as if to outrace each other, jumping over rocks and hedges to see who can get there first." Let me suggest to you, friends, that the good news about Jesus is worth checking out for yourself. Please, don't let another Christmas season come and go where you engage with this story merely as a passing holiday tradition. Now, if Jesus is the God-sent Savior King, what might that mean for your life? I've got a neighbor buddy named Kevin. And up till a couple of years ago, Kevin was seriously overweight. In fact, he told me he was tipping the scales at a little over 400 pounds at one point. And so he decided to do something drastic about it. He knew that this weight was killing him, that it was cheating him of a healthy lifestyle. And so he went through a surgery, and then he changed dramatically his eating habits. And long story short, over the last year and a half, he's lost 200 pounds. So a couple of months ago, Kevin and I are talking about this, and he says to me, he says, "Jim, I feel like a new man." And he said, "In fact, I'm beginning to explore what it means to be a new man in every area of my life, you know, not just the physical." And I said, "Oh, that's wonderful." I said, "Let me ask you, Kevin, what role do you think God plays in all of this?" He thought about it for a second, and he said, "You know, I'm not sure. You got any ideas?" I said, "Well, Kevin, you're a coach." He's a coach at our local high school. I said, so you're used to helping student athletes achieve their goals. I'm kind of a coach, okay? I'm a life coach, spiritual life coach. So what say we get together on a regular basis here and we explore what God has in store for your life? And he said, you know, sounds good to me. And so we've been meeting together every other Saturday for the past few months, opening up the Bible, digging in, and Kevin is checking it out. Checking it out. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever checked out the good news about Jesus for yourself? I mean, you've heard me describe how Jesus came to earth to lay down his life on the cross, to die the death that you and I deserve to die because we're disconnected from God, the giver of life. You've heard me say that Jesus, though dead, was raised from the dead, returned to heaven, and that if you'll surrender to him, if you'll surrender to him, he will forgive your sins. He'll reconnect you to God. He'll give you a brand new life. You want to give it a shot? You say, well, I don't know. I got questions. I got questions about Jesus. I got questions about the Bible. I got questions about the Christian faith. Fair enough. Then get some answers. Quit using your questions as an excuse to stay where you are. God welcomes honest questions. I mean, Luke, the dude who wrote this biography of Jesus that we're taking a look at today. Luke was a first century physician, so he was a man of science, if you would. And when he heard the good news about Jesus, he wasn't content, you know, to hear it secondhand. He wanted to go to the original sources. So in the opening verses of his biography, you'll read Luke say that he started an investigative journalistic trip, if you would, interviewing everybody who had heard what Jesus had said, had seen what Jesus did. He wanted answers to his questions. So if you're the least bit skeptical about this good news about Jesus, all I can say is check it out for yourself. Now, there are several ways you can do this. You know, one way is to just read Luke's biography. Have you ever read one of the short biographies of Jesus in the Bible? You know, Luke's gospel is 24 chapters long, and the chapters are typically like one or two pages. So you could read it in 10 minutes. So read a chapter a day for the next 3 weeks and come to your own conclusions about who is this Jesus and what role should he play in my life? If you want to take it a step further, go online, check out our website, and look for Alpha. Okay, Alpha is a 10-week interactive course that we do, question and answer. Sometimes we do it online, sometimes we do it in person, and it's for people who are kicking the tires, people who want to know more about the Christian faith before they make any sort of a commitment. You know, what does this mean? What's this all about? What does the Bible have to say? It's a course that began in a little church in England, and it's spread all around the world now. So churches all over the globe are using Alpha, and our next Alpha course is in January. And it's online, so you could Zoom. You don't even have to get out of your easy chair to do it. Check it out. Or can I challenge you to do one other thing? So if you're a Christer, if you come at Christmas time and Easter, how about coming for 8 straight weeks in the new year? I challenge you to come 2 solid months and check out a relationship with Jesus for yourself. How will you know? How will you know what you're missing unless you check it out? Step 3, share it with others. Go back to the story in Luke one last time, picking it up at verse 17, chapter 2. When the shepherds had seen Jesus, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Here's something really ironic. In the first century in Israel, shepherds were not allowed to be formal witnesses in a court of law. Why not? Well, remember, they were the outcasts in society. They were nobodies. And yet God gave them the honor and privilege of being the very first witnesses about Jesus. Listen, friends, once you encounter Jesus for yourself, once you surrender your life to him as Savior and King, you can't keep the good news to yourself. In fact, if you do, if you're a Christ follower, and you've not been sharing the good news, the longer you don't share the good news, the less central, the less significant it becomes for your own life. You know, it's like good news about anything, whether it's your sports team or a pregnancy that you know, you've been surprised with, or a raise at work, you know, if you want to get excited about it, if you want to experience it at a deeper level, tell other people about it. Okay, works the same way in terms of a relationship with Jesus. The more you talk about it, the more you share it with others, the more real it becomes in your own life. I got an email from a friend, Lori, about a month ago. And Lori was telling me the story of sharing the good news about Jesus with her neighbor. Her neighbor, Marcy, single woman, moved in about a year ago. And Marcy, very quiet, very shy. In fact, Lori met her for the first time. They were walking dogs. And she said hi to Marcy, expecting a conversation to come of it. And Marcy said hi and moved on. But one day she noticed an ambulance outside Marcy's door. And so after the ambulance left, she went over and she knocked. And Marcy's mother-in-law answered and explained that Marcy has cancer and she's had to go to the hospital for surgery. It's not looking good. So a few days later, when Marcy returns home, Lori goes over and she says, I just want you to know anything I could do to help. In fact, I know you got a dog, so why don't you let me walk your dog every day? And that's what she began to do. And some conversation began to evolve. You know, mostly lighthearted stuff, but occasionally a reference to God or Jesus or something that Lori had picked up from the Bible, not pushing anything. And then one day the conversation got real deeper real quick, because at the beginning of the day, Marcy called and she was distraught and she said, I soiled myself and I've got nobody to help me and I'm going to sit in this the rest of the day. I don't know what to do. And Lori said, well, you happen to be talking to a former oncology nurse, so I'm going to be right over. And she shot over and she cleaned up Marcy. And from that point on, the conversations about God started picking up. And after a while, Lori asked Marcy, Marcy, would you like to surrender your life to Jesus? And Marcy had heard enough to understand what that was all about. And she said, yeah, I would. Just a few weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, Marcy passed away. But you know, death was just a doorway for Marcy through which she stepped into the presence of her newly discovered Savior King. And Jesus took the death that we deserve to die. And he offers us, if we'll surrender to him, forgiveness and new life, and it stretches into eternal life. Who do you know that needs to hear that good news and maybe hear it from you? You say, I'm not very articulate. I'm not sure exactly what I'd say, whether I could recap it. Well, that's why we put together a little booklet years ago called God's Good News. And it's a pictorial presentation of what the good news about Jesus covers and Bible verses that go along with it. Explains the whole deal. In fact, I got a friend who moved. He used to attend Christ Community Church, retired down in Florida. And every couple of months, he calls me for an additional stash of God's Good News booklets because he's giving them away like hotcakes. All right, so if you want one of these or a pile of these, I just want to tell you at the in-person services today, there are God's Good News booklets at the exits as you go out. So pick up a handful. Put one in somebody's gift this year. You know, hang on to a few at your home. So, you know, when you stop in at a coffee shop, you could give one to your barista, or when the guy comes by to fix your furnace in the middle of January. Didn't know that was coming, did you? You got some good news. Good news. And if you're watching online, you know, just go to our website, tap in God's Good News, and you'll see an electronic copy of this good news. Good news of great joy. How do you access it for your own life? Number one, be surprised. Allow yourself to be surprised. Throw out your expectations of what you thought you were going to get when you came to our service today or turned it on online, and allow God to speak to your heart and say, this is your day to surrender to Christ. If you're not ready, then number two, check it out. Okay, don't keep telling yourself, yeah, someday you're going to look into it. Look into it now. And if you've already surrendered your life to Jesus, look for ways to share it. That relationship with Christ is going to become so much more real and exciting to you if you begin to share the good news with others. You get it? Good. I waited to the very end to do that. Yes. Pray with me, would you? I want to pray what we call around Christ Community Church the surrender prayer. So if you've never surrendered to Jesus, this is the prayer that gets the ball rolling. Although I will say this, a couple of weeks ago, because we pray this prayer often at the end of services, somebody came up to me and said, you know, I surrendered to Christ years ago, but I still love to pray that surrender prayer whenever you pray it. And you know what? It's good. It's good for Christ followers as well. Three really important words in the surrender prayer, whether you've never prayed it before or you've been walking with Jesus for years. Here it is. First word, sorry. I'm going to give you a quiet moment to just tell God, God, I'm so sorry. See, God has, you know, his intention was to create you in his image and reign over your life as your king. But you've been sitting on the throne of your life, and let me tell you, honestly, you've been making a mess of it. There's anger, there's greed, there's lust, there's pride, there's bitterness, there's prejudice. You know, we're all marked by sin. And that sin has broken your relationship with God. And what you deserve is death because you've pulled away from the giver of life. You've disconnected from the source of life. So can you, in your own words right now, say to God, sorry? And even if you've trusted Christ before, this is a good time to say, oh, Jesus, you put up with so much from me. I'm so sorry. The second important word in the surrender prayer is the word thanks. And this is where the good news starts to get personalized. You realize Jesus didn't come simply for the world. He came for you. You know, he came to die the death that you deserved to die, to take the penalty for your sin. And you begin to personalize it. You begin to own it when you say with sincerity, oh, I'm so grateful. You know, I've kind of held this good news at arm's length. Maybe I heard about it in church at some point along the line. Maybe it's brand new to me, but oh my goodness, it overwhelms me with a sense of gratitude. Well, tell God. You know, if you've been living in a relationship with Jesus for years, tell God how grateful you are that at a point in time, Jesus gave his life for you. Say thanks. Thanks. The third word, and this is the key that opens the door for Christ to come in. You say, please. Third word is please. Please come in. Please help me learn what it means to follow you. Please take the throne of my life. I'm getting off the throne. I want you to take the throne. Please help me understand your word because I'm going to start reading the Bible. You know, please give me a group of people who I can track with, who are following you, maybe a group like at Christ Community Church. Please help me take my next steps of following you as my new king. Please. God, you promise in your word that when we seek you with all our hearts, you will be found by us. And so I pray that in cases where people have sincerely prayed the surrender prayer for the first time, they would have a sense that Christ has just become their Savior King, that the Spirit of God has made them spiritually alive, reconnected them with you. And for those of us who needed to pray that surrender prayer just as a way to renew our relationship with you, God, give us a fresh start in following Jesus. We